I'm Marco Werman, and this is The World. On the day after Election Day, the voters voted and the balance of power shifted to give Republicans control of Congress. Today, in his first post-election press conference, President Obama said he wants to find common ground with Republicans. He also discussed the many issues he now wants to work on, like the ongoing nuclear talks with Iran.
The discussions, the negotiations have been constructive. The international community has been unified and cohesive. There haven't been a lot of cracks in our alliance. Even countries where we have some differences, like Russia, have agreed with us.
Almost sounds like you'd rather be at the talks than in Washington right now. But the president's focus on Iran is not some post-election consolation. From the start of his presidency, Obama has been talking about his concerns about nuclear weapons, and his big push on that front has been the negotiations with Iran. So how could a Republican Congress impact what happens now? Robin Wright knows all about this. She's with the U.S. Institute of Peace and the Woodrow Wilson Center in Washington.
The Republicans have long been much more difficult and demanding when it comes to the terms of a nuclear deal with Iran. They've been skeptical about whether Iran will meet terms ensuring that it is not capable of converting a peaceful energy program into the world's deadliest weapon. And so the Obama administration will face a much tougher audience. But the calculation may be that if they can get a deal on November 24th or soon thereafter, that they can work with the current Congress. At the same time, the president has said from the beginning that he may not have to go to Congress to get a formal lifting of sanctions immediately, that this may play out over time. And so it may be that there is an effort to build some confidence over a period of time, even with the Republicans in the Senate, which is the critical body.
So what support or votes from Congress will Obama actually need to cement a deal with Iran should that time come? Or can a deal with Iran be struck without Congress?
Short-term, a deal can be struck without Congress, but clearly you're going to get a lot of feedback from those who are newly elected, those who will be skeptical. And so it will be harder to sell a deal just generally, I think, to the American public now that you have Republicans in control of both houses of Congress. That doesn't mean it's impossible, because at the end of the day, everybody wants a deal. But the terms are going to be probably dissected far more now than they would have been if the Democrats still control the Senate.
Why should trust in Iran be so starkly different between Democrats and Republicans? Can you just lay that out for us?
Well, Obama had obviously more leverage over the Senate when the Democrats had control, and he might be able to twist arms even among those who are skeptical themselves. Skeptical Democrats. But it's clear that the Republicans have played harder ball. And, you know, this is a polarized city over politics. It sometimes doesn't matter whether the deal is a good deal or not. It's the fact that the opposing party managed to pull it off and people oppose because of politics rather than because of the content or the terms. This would be the single most important foreign policy achievement by President Obama and the most important non-proliferation achievement in probably five or six presidencies.
So a deadline of November 24th, I mean, that's really soon, even if there's a little extension after that. Are we about to see some negotiating drama in the next few weeks?
Absolutely. They have just announced that there will be three rounds of talks. It will be high drama. The temporary deal negotiated literally 1 year ago went into the following morning. It was like 3 a.m. when they came out and said they had a temporary deal. What they may get is some kind of principle, and then they'll ask for more time to work out the technical details. This is really infinitely difficult stuff, not just to get to the principles of how many centrifuges they're producing, but also how do you monitor and verify and what happens to a lot of the material they have. There are a lot of questions to be answered and a lot of details that will make this a very complicated set of negotiations.
Robin Wright, joint fellow at the U.S. Institute of Peace and the Woodrow Wilson Center in Washington. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
And here's something else that could make those talks even more complicated. Americans and Iranians each have their own set of unwritten rules for communication. I'll let our own Shirin Jafari explain the Persian concept of tarof.
I should start off by saying that tarof is a very complicated tradition. So complicated, in fact, that when I ask other Iranians how they would explain it, I get this a lot.
It's hard.
And that's from the person who has a podcast about Persian culture. But I think this is where Leila Shams nails it.
Instead of being very direct, like in American culture, we do this kind of dance.
Keyword here is dance. Tarof is a verbal dance.
A lot of times you'll go to someone's house and they'll ask you, do you want tea? And at first you always say, no, no, thank you. I don't, you know, don't go through the trouble. Don't worry about it. And of course the host knows that you do want tea and they'll bring it for you anyway. And up to the moment that that tea goes up to your lips to drink, you have to insist that you don't want tea.
Here's what Tarof boils down to. Pretend you don't want something when you really do. Offer something when you don't really plan to give it away. Say nice things you don't mean. And my favorite.
If I say, oh, I really like your shirt, then you have to say, oh, well, it's yours. It would look better on you anyway. I think this is something that Americans or, you know, non-Iranians will hear and they will just get freaked out because they think, what did I say? I just complimented something. Can I not compliment anything in this house?
The most bizarre thing about Tarof is that while it's confusing, time-consuming, and totally inefficient, we do it because it's a sign of respect. And Iranians in general know when someone is being genuine or just doing the tarof. But it can be very disorienting for others. John Limbert knows this from experience. In 1979, he was a diplomat in Iran. Limbert stepped on Iranian soil only weeks before the Shah was overthrown.
I noticed that when people gave each other gifts, they used the expression hediyeh naqabel, worthless gift or insignificant gift. And I can remember once being in a ceremony and we wanted to thank some teachers who had helped us with a program, and we had bought them a very nice framed picture of the Shah for their office, and I made the statement that this was an insignificant gift. And if you'd seen the faces on the people at the meeting, I realized immediately, I think I have misused this particular bit of tarof.
In November 1979, Iranian students took over the American embassy in Tehran and took Limbert and 52 of his colleagues hostage. They were held captive for 444 days. And so, as the days went on, Limbert tried tarof, this time with more success.
I found during my time of captivity that I could use it as a weapon. If someone came into the cell where I was, I would say, please, you must come in, you must sit down. And he said, oh, no, no, I could never do that. I said, oh, no, 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 you must. And if I had some bit of food or nuts there, I would offer, and he would, of course, refuse the first time, and I would insist. I mean, it sounds odd and sounds bizarre, but it was true.
Limbert even used Tarof sarcastically in a meeting with a man who later became Iran's supreme leader. That's Limbert speaking in Farsi, saying, you Iranians are so hospitable that once you have a guest, you don't let them leave. You can see in the footage that Khamenei was taken aback by Limbert's Tarof, but then he just brushes it off. The hostage taking left Iran-U.S. relations in a pretty bad shape. Years of sanctions, bombastic rhetoric, and mistrust ensued. But fast forward 35 years.
Just now, I spoke on the phone with President Rouhani of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
The two countries are negotiating over Iran's nuclear program and have set a deadline for the end of this month. Once you have two sides that haven't spoken for 30 years come to the table, let's say every little gesture counts. And since Americans are known for being direct, Limbert says it doesn't hurt if at least they know about Tarof.
Just very simple things like if the group has to go through a door, it's considered rude to just walk ahead through the door without offering to defer to the other person.
Limbert says since the diplomats on the Iranian team have lived in the U.S., and since the negotiations are done in English, there's probably little chance that Tarof would make or break a deal. But he adds it might improve the human interaction between the negotiators and, who knows, maybe even smooth the way for a final deal. That's if both sides know the steps to this intricate dance. For The World, I'm Shirin Jafari.